And thank you, Alex, for what you shared. We sang 458, "O for a heart to praise my God." And in verse 4, it says, "In humble, lowly, contrite heart, believing, true, and clean, which neither life nor death can part from him that dwells within." And I read that because that will have part of what we're going to look at today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we welcome your presence here today. Thank you that you have been here. You have spoken to our hearts. Thank you. We ask that you would help us to ingest your word and to be able to digest it and apply it to our lives, our physical lives, Monday morning. Father, thank you that that you have a group of people here that you love, and thank you. They are my people, and just as Moses stood before the people and worked at leading them to you, and I just pray that you would help me as I learn to do that, that I would be the broken person that Moses was. So, Father, just do that in all of our hearts and lead us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you're excited this morning to study the Word of God. I hope today to keep all of your attention. I was speaking with another brother, and he was sharing a little bit about how he was feeling about all of the traffic in and out of the service during our services, and it's a problem. But I believe that I can keep your attention well enough that an hour could go by. I hope I can, that the Word of God could keep your attention to where you don't feel the need as much to go out. That's not a rebuke, but it's easy to lose focus. So I'm going to try to keep your focus. This morning we want to look at John the Baptist, look at the character that John shows us. Real quickly, I'm going to ask for your input through this message. So when I ask for your input, be quick, please. What comes to your mind when you think of John the Baptist? What character would come to your mind quickly, or an aspect that he had in his life? Anyone?
Bold, loud, and clear.
Boldness. Anyone else?
Humility.
Humility. Thank you. Any others? Chris?
Separated unto God.
Separated unto God. Anyone else? Those are very...
rough-looking character.
All right. Wasn't afraid to be odd. I'm going to write some things here. So I want to look at here three elements of John the Baptist's life that seem pretty pretty obvious to us. One of them was humility. Someone said humility. I'm going to write that here.
You must increase, I must decrease.
Humility. The other one, of the three is love. I want... love, and the other one would be truth. That comes in where boldness for the truth. So truth, love, and humility, and I'm sure you all could come up with maybe a better set of words. It seems like in John's life, when he put truth with love, so truth plus love plus humility, what does that equal? What did John have? Tim said boldness. That's what that equals. When you have truth and you have love and you have humility, you have courage. And so we'll put that equals courage.
Also effectual, it works.
Yes. Thank you. So with those three ingredients, they equal courage. And then when you take love and humility, put those together, what do you have? Anyone?
Compassion.
Meekness. Okay, thank you. Those are all good. They could all be here. I'm going to put, so I keep myself on my own notes, I'm going to have to put my own words there. Grace. Love and humility equals grace. I'm going to have to move quickly because I don't have much time. Without truth, we have no message. Without love, our motive is wrong. Without humility, our spirit will drive others away from Christ and from ourselves. So without truth, we have no message. Without love, our motive is wrong. Without humility, our spirit will drive people away. Humility. Chapter 14, verse 12, we have the beginning of the fall. And some of this Alex mentioned, so I'm going to maybe pass over some of it. But there, that is where, with the beginning of the fall, where Satan was cast out of heaven because of the pride. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend." And it goes on. So that was the downfall of man. In Genesis chapter 3, Alex brought this out. Satan came again with the same problem. Satan's same problem. That you could be gods if you would just do that. Isaiah 57:15 says, "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with them also who are of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the contrite and I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. That I should have written that one down. C.S. Lewis said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself." You've probably heard this before. Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That is what humility is. And when you look at John the Baptist's life, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was tempted to. We know he was, right? Was he not? Because he was a man like as we are. But humility is thinking about ourselves less. Humility is best grown by thinking on God and His Word. Less of ourselves. It's a place of worship. Humility is a place of worship. A place where when we are clothed with humility, we can worship. We are commanded to be clothed with humility. Do you think John the Baptist struggled with pride? You think he did? I think so. I think he could have. He probably did. Very likely he did. When you think of John the Baptist, he's mentioned in every gospel and multiple times in most of the gospels. He played a vital role in Jesus' lineage. He did. Can that be said of you? Are you related to John the Baptist? No, I don't think any of us are. And yet, was there pride shown in his life? I would like to today bring John into your mind as a aspiration for you and I to attain to. He was in a time in his life where he was trying to turn the tide, right? Was he not? He was a forerunner of Christ. He was sent to turn people's hearts and prepare people's hearts for the coming Messiah, right? Was that it? Okay, so where do you find yourself today? Do you find yourself in a different spot than John the Baptist was? In very many ways, we are in the same place as John the Baptist found himself in. We are here to cast the stones out of the way, to prepare the way for people to come to Christ. John was prophesied about. He was quoted in Scripture, and he read that. He was aware of that. He knew he was prophesied about. He knew he was talked about. Was he proud? I we're not told that he was. It doesn't seem like he was. He was used by God. He was called. He knew all of that. He had to deal with that. He had to deal with those feelings of feeling used by God, feeling important about that. He was a prominent player in the gospel. He knew that. He knew that. How would you and I respond to that if we knew we were a vital role in the gospel? Would we like that feeling? Would we entertain that thought in our minds? I may. I would. Would you? He's related to Jesus by blood. He was a relative of Jesus. Can that be said of you? Do you have that to feel good about? He knew that. He was a second cousin. That's what I'm told. I haven't studied that. Go ahead and study that. But I believe he was a second cousin from what I find. He was compared to a well-known and powerful prophet. Who was that prophet that he was compared to? Elijah. Yes. Jesus said he comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he knew that. He knew that. He knew that before he began to preach. I believe he knew that Jesus said that of him. How would we handle that if we were talked about long before it came to pass that so-and-so is going to do this great thing and he's going to be like this person? And that would be hard, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be hard to handle and to stay humble? He was even mistaken to be the Messiah, right? He was. He was mistaken to be the Messiah. How would you handle that? Someone thought you were Jesus. How would you feel? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Do you live so that someone might mistake you for Jesus? Do I? During your work, in your work, do you act and talk like you might be the Messiah? Do I? Do you think when he was asked, "Are you the Messiah?" do you think he might have been tempted to say, "Time will tell. I might be." Do you think he was? I think he was. He may have had those temptations. But did he do that? No. No, he did not. We will look at some of the things that he said about himself. Matthew 11, verse 11, it says, Jesus said that there was no man born among women greater than John the Baptist. If anyone could claim fame, it was John. Going on that verse in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, it says that there is someone greater than John the Baptist. There is. And who is that? Alex touched on it this morning. That's right. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. You and I can be greater than John the Baptist. Did you know that? Is that exciting? John the Baptist was great, but you can be greater. That was the spirit of John the Baptist that I want to share with you this morning. That's the spirit that we all want to put on. Is that correct? It is the spirit of Jesus Christ, and it is the spirit that John had. We have no claims to any of these things that I just said. We have no claim to be related to Jesus or to be mistaken as the Messiah. But John did not take those things to himself. This is what John said. "There is one coming after me that is preferred before me." He was not bashful about that. He didn't hide that fact. There's someone coming that's much better than me, preferred before me. This is how John talked about himself. "There's one coming and I want you to meet him." This is what John said to people in his day. "There's someone coming that's much better than me and I want you to meet him. My job is to introduce you to him, this Jesus. He was before the foundation of the earth." John says, "I'm temporary, but the one that's coming is much greater and he is eternal. He was, he is, and he will be. He said this, there is one coming who is mightier than I. There's one coming that is mightier than I. He was a great man. He was a powerful man. But there's one coming that I don't even compare to, Jesus Christ. For all the callings, all the prophecies, all the possibilities that John might have had to take some of that for himself, he did not. Do you and do I? What Brother Tim shared this morning spoke to me. I'm right with Tim. I'm right with Tim. I struggle with that. This is a challenge to me. John also said, there's one coming whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. Whose shoe latchet I am unworthy to unloose. Imagine that. Didn't even feel worthy to get down on the ground and untie a shoelace. I often feel much more worthy than to take someone's shoes off. Do you? I do. In many ways, you could say that John the Baptist was second to Jesus. If he was the greatest man born among women, we know that Jesus was born of the Spirit, if I'm saying that right. John was a second to Jesus in many ways. That's what I see. Maybe I stand to be corrected, but it seems like John was second to Jesus, and yet he didn't feel worthy to untie someone's shoe. Can we get there? We can. We can, and that's why we're here this morning. It's one of the reasons. That was his spirit, not even worthy to do a servant's task. That's what the servant's task was in those days, was to take their shoes off, take their sandals off, wash their feet. He didn't feel worthy to do that. What was he worthy to do then? That was the lowest task. One of the lowest tasks. He also said, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? So John was in the waters of Jordan there. John was in the waters of Jordan there baptizing people. And Jesus walked up and said, would you baptize me? And John said, me? Baptize you? No, you got that backwards. Would you baptize me? And Jesus said, no, you need to baptize me. That's upside down, is it not? John could have said, sure, I just did 500 of them. Let's go. Let's do it. John was called to do those things. John was called to baptize, to bring people to Christ and baptize them. That was his calling. And yet in his calling, he was careful he was careful. He had humility. So he went ahead, he baptized Jesus. He fulfilled his calling. And he did it. The master of the universe, he baptized him. John also said, he must increase, I must decrease. That's right. That's right. He said that. I don't know how much of John's future, his end, I don't know how much of that was revealed to him beforehand. About how what his death might be like. I don't know how much of that he knew. But it seems like when Jesus came and was walking on this earth, John's ministry was about over. John's calling was about over. It was just a short time that John's calling was. And it seems like he knew some of his future, and he knew that he was going to decrease. And Jesus was going to increase, and he felt that need in his life. How is it when you share the gospel with others? Are you okay? Am I okay to be just a small part, an insignificant part of what God is doing in the souls of men? John was okay with that. John was okay to drop out of the picture right when there seemed to be the most glory to be had. Was it not? Jesus was walking on that earth. John, there were miracles happening. And John was okay to decrease. Am I okay with that? Are you okay with that? That right when it looks like we could start feeling good about ourselves, that's the time that we have to be the most careful. And John was. I must decrease, he must increase. Are you okay with that? So, Gary Miller says in one of his books that he asked the question, are we okay with being just a small part of God's kingdom? One that's not noticed, it's not sought after, it's not... And Gary says, I won't quote this perfectly, but he says, on a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, you are on a scale from 1 to 10. Everybody's on a scale from 1 to 10 in their knowledge of Christ or lack thereof, whatever. Starting from 1, knowing nothing about Christ, up to 10, knowing a lot about him or maybe loving him. When you meet someone and you, hopefully our heart is to convey the gospel to people, when you are doing that, you may only move that person from a 2 on that scale to a 2.1. or a 2.01. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with someone, you've led someone to Christ, you maybe are the stepping stones in that person's life, sharing the gospel, and they come to Christ, and they stand and share their testimony. You were the one that led them to the Lord. You were the one that was up all night praying for them. Maybe you were the one that walked them through the difficulties, and they share their testimony, and they don't mention anything about you. Absolutely, they don't mention anything. There's brothers in this room that has happened to. Are you okay with that? Or does something rise within us that wants to be part of that? John could have been part of that. He was part of that. And you see how he responded. Can we do that? I'm calling you to be that kind of person. And I will walk that way with you. That's John's story. The spirit of John. Excited about men coming to Christ, not excited about himself. May we become a people like that. He also said this, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. He didn't say, hey, I'm a relation to Jesus. I'll help you. I mean, I'm called to bring you guys to Christ, and I'm related to him. I can do it. He's not here yet, but when he comes, I'll introduce you and I'll make this connection because I've got a connection with Jesus. No, he just said, I'm a friend. I'm just a friend. Have you ever felt when there's someone well known in the room? Have you ever felt the feeling that you want to be recognized? Maybe that's only in my own heart. Do you feel that? That you would like, maybe you wouldn't say anything, maybe you would like to just be recognized that, hey, I know that person. I talked to him on the phone the other day. I know him well. John just said, I'm just a friend. Just a friend. I'm okay with just being in under the voice of Jesus. Just as long as I can hear him, I'm okay. I don't have to be sitting beside him. Just to hear the voice of the bridegroom is enough for me. Is it enough for you? Is it? Are we okay with that? Are you okay with just being a servant of Jesus Christ? Don't even have to be related to him. Is it okay just to know him? Talk to him now, talk to him often, but just okay being a servant and listening to his voice. I ask these questions to myself. These questions are written down from my own pen because I need them. I need them, and I share them with you so you can join me in this journey. Humility is a balanced view of God's acceptance and our usefulness and a high view of God and others around us. That was not my quote. I don't know who said that. A high view of God and of those around us. How do we view our brothers and sisters or even our neighbors? Do we value them? Do we treat them valuable, as valuable people? That is humility. humble courage. Here's some things to consider in our calling today. The call to be a John the Baptist in your day. Specifically, you young men in this room, including myself, are you willing to be a John the Baptist today? Are you willing to be dressed like John the Baptist was? Well, I don't know if I'd want to see someone come into the audience dressed like John the Baptist. I don't know how that looked or what that was. But you understand that, are you willing to dress in a way that you know is right and it might look a little different? It might. That's okay. Are you okay with that? Am I okay with that? I struggle with that. I'll just be the first one to admit that. I don't like sticking out. Do you? We don't want to stick out for sticking out difference, that for that reason. But we have to be willing, as John the Baptist, to be different in our calling and to fulfill that faithfully, whatever that looks like. And we need to be okay with whatever that looks like. Here's some things that will take courage. It's going to take a lot of love and a lot of humility, yet it's very basic. It can happen in your life tomorrow and the next day and the next day and all week. It can happen in our lives. We can be like John the Baptist. You don't have to be weird to be like John the Baptist. Just be yourself and be like God wants you to be. And that is the calling we have today. It takes humility to speak up in defense of the truth. It does. John knew that. That was part of John's life. It takes courage to speak the truth. John's audience, was it easy to speak to? Do you think John had it easy? No, he didn't. We don't either. And yet we might have it easier than John the Baptist. I don't know. I'll let you discuss that. That would be a good discussion to have, that we probably have it easier than John the Baptist did. So who was John the Baptist's audience? Who was he called to speak to? He was called to speak to wealthy men of his day. And what did John look like? What was he dressed in? 16 and under. Someone 16 and younger. What was John the Baptist dressed in? Well, I mean, it mentions once. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't his normal garb, but probably was. Raise your hand. Anybody?
Camel's hair.
Yes, camel's hair. Thank you. And what was his diet? Same age bracket. What was his diet?
Locusts and wild honey.
That's right. That was a good portion of it. Who knows what, but it was mentioned. Good. Read your Bibles. Study these people. So back to John's audience. John's audience was not an easy audience. I believe, as we see John the Baptist wearing camel's hair, he was speaking to lawyers. What do you think the lawyers were dressed like? Probably very wealthy. And he was there in his camel's hair, leading them to Christ. That didn't look normal in his day. It didn't. It didn't look normal. Poor dress, poor diet. And I'm not propagating just going and eating ladybugs. But I'm telling you today that it will separate you from the world if you are willing to walk like John the Baptist walked. How do you do in your peer group? Is your peer group hard to stick out of? Hard to speak the truth? If you're struggling to speak the truth in your peer group, if I struggle to speak the truth in my peer group, I need help. I need help. Because those people like you. Those people probably love you in most cases. Your peer group appreciates you. And if you can't speak the truth in your peer group, how are we going to speak the truth to the society around us? We must be willing to, in love and humility, with grace, speak the truth in our peer group. We must. It takes humble courage to dress like John. It wasn't easy. John was likely tempted to put on the lawyer's robes. He probably was, and he probably could have afforded it, I'm guessing. I don't know. We aren't told those things. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but we know he was tempted. And so just like we are, no pretense. That's what I see in John the Baptist's life. There was no pretense. Be yourself and be okay with that. It takes courage, takes humble courage to be a good example. It takes humility to have the courage to be a good example. Please don't stop influencing just because your influence is not received. It is so hard for me to do that, and it's probably hard for most of us to do that. Don't stop influencing for good just because your influence is not received or that you know that it's not popular. If you know it to be right, continue to influence with love and humility, and it will make a difference. I'll say that again. Don't stop influencing others around you for good just because it's not received. Influence people in the right way. Don't stop. It takes courage to speak a word of encouragement. It does. I'm not qualified. Isn't that how we feel? I'm not qualified. That is so often the case that we feel. Why would I don't have it figured out. That's right, we don't. We don't have it figured out, but give that word of encouragement. Or you might say, well, I need the word of encouragement for myself. How can I give a word of encouragement when I myself am needing encouragement? I find myself there. But do it anyway. And I promise you, if you give that word of truth and encouragement to someone, you will feel energized yourself. And you will feel like three of those words of encouragement was given to you. I promise that. It's promised in Scripture that if you pour yourself out, you will be poured into. And I want to say about the I'm not qualified. How many of you are qualified today? Raise your hand. How many of you are qualified? None. That's right. How many of you feel qualified today? Raise your hand. You don't feel that way. Okay, that's interesting. Did John feel qualified in his day? No. John was called. He didn't feel qualified. And he wasn't qualified. He had faults. He did. He had struggles. He had weaknesses. But he was called. And you all are called today. You all are called. There's no exceptions. You don't have to be qualified, but you are called. And in that calling, you will become qualified if you're willing to fill that. I'm not qualified, and I don't feel qualified, but we're all called. I hope you feel that calling this morning. It takes humble courage to take rebuke and instruction from anyone, capital letters, anyone. It takes humble courage to take rebuke and instruction from anyone. It doesn't matter who. Can we get there? That's my heart. It is hard for me to receive rebuke and instruction. Thank you for those that have, in the last 6 months, brought correction to me. I think I welcome that. Let's put on that type of spirit. It gets practical into everyday stuff. It takes humility, humble courage to love your enemy, right? We know it does. But you know what? It takes just as much to love your family. To love your enemy and to love your family takes the same amount. Well, I shouldn't say. Maybe it doesn't take the same amount. But it takes humility and love to love your family at times. Hopefully not very often. Hopefully it's natural. But it takes love and humility to love your family. Your family's not perfect. Young man or young woman, it's not perfect. Your father's not perfect. Your mother's not perfect. Your church is not perfect. Your pastors are not perfect. Can we put on this love and humility to listen, to receive instruction and direction? Truth plus love plus humility equals courage. In closing here, I want to look at John in his latter latter part of his life. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was a powerful preacher, mighty preacher. So we have that picture in our minds that this man is just amazing, right? But you know, he can identify with what we deal with on a daily basis. So sometimes this all feels unattainable. How do you get there? How do you put on these things? The truth, love, and humility, courage. How many of you face discouragement at times? Yes, we all do, right? You can raise your hand, it's okay. I do. You all probably do at times. John did too. There in Luke chapter 7, verse 18, you can turn there. I'm not going to read it verse by verse, but John is sitting in jail. Why was he sitting in jail? Yeah, he spoke the truth. And he probably spoke it, I think he spoke it in love and humility, but he still landed in jail for that. And I think he knew it would have consequences. And I would point that out right now too, that we know that speaking the truth in love and humility will have consequences. You will become unpopular, likely. You will be told that you are uncaring, possibly, or unloving. And that could be true. May it not be true of us. Let's be careful to speak in love and humility. But John did that, and he still landed in jail. And while he sat in that dungeon, I don't know how it was like, but I'm guessing it wasn't very nice in that place. He sat in prison. He was discouraged. The walls were tight. He was closed in. And you begin to wonder and start thinking, what is Jesus really who he is, who he said he is? Is Jesus really working? Where? Why, if he was working, why would I be sitting in discouragement? Why would I be in jail? He told me to preach these things. I was called to do this, and now here I sit. Do you find yourselves like that sometimes? I do. What did John do? John sought advice. Before I go there, going back a little bit. Not long before John was sitting in jail, what was John out doing? He was preaching, right? While he was baptizing, Jesus started walking up and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And not long after, he's sitting in jail, wondering, are you the one that we should be looking for? Or do we seek another? How can that be? He was just proclaiming Jesus, the Lamb of God. And now he's discouraged. That's you and I. That is you and I today. I'm sorry to tell you. Maybe you haven't gotten there yet. Maybe you don't experience something like this, but life does this to you. We experience these things. And John, what did John do? John sought advice. One Sunday, you and I can be singing, "Oh, victory in Jesus." And then we find ourselves discouraged. Where is that victory? It vanished. One Sunday, we can be singing, "Be Thou My Vision." We sang it this morning. That was on my notes, I promise. "Be Thou My Vision." And we lose our vision. We do so easily. We can be thankful for scriptures like this that we can gain courage from. That John was a powerful man, second to Jesus, and yet he's right with us Monday morning. He knew how this was like, just like Jesus did. John sought advice immediately. When he was facing this discouragement, what did he do? Someone.
Sent his disciples to ask Jesus.
Yes, he sent several of his disciples to Jesus. And they were told to ask Jesus. John said, "Go and ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we be looking for another?" Seek advice. When you're discouraged, don't bottle it up and build a wall. Ask for advice. Ask for comfort, maybe. Ask for that. We need that. I need that. There's days that I need, I have to call someone, or maybe it's my wife that says, no, it's okay. Turn your face away from the wall and get out of bed. You know, Ahab, you know, he turned his face to the wall and pouted. Some days that's what we're tempted to do, but let's do what John did and just seek for some facts. That's what John did. John didn't ask someone to come and mourn with him or come visit him. He just asked for some solid facts. Are you the one or aren't you? So let's do that. When we're feeling emotional, let's look for some solid facts to help sort out the feelings. And that's what John did. You can be the stepping stones for somebody to walk out of the pit of discouragement. Let's be that. So what did Jesus do when John sent his disciples? John's disciples came to Jesus and they said, John wants to know, are you the Messiah or not? What did Jesus do? It seems like he almost ignored the men that came to him, and he started talking to everybody around him and said, What he did is he started saying the very things that John the Baptist was preaching. He was quoting what John had been preaching. And you know, that is, Jesus knew what John needed to hear. John just needed to hear the same things that he had been saying the whole time before Jesus came. He just needed to be reminded. Sometimes I need to be reminded of what the truth is and what the facts are and how to move forward. We just need reminded. And Jesus sent those men back to the prison and just said, go tell John. There's still good works. There's still miracles happening. The gospel is being preached to the poor and the needy. And blessed are those who are not offended in me. Those were his last words before he sent John's disciples back to the jail to talk to him. Blessed are those who are not offended in me. When we find ourselves where John was in that prison, quote scripture to yourself. Quote scripture to yourself. That is such a safeguard against Satan's lies. Satan was there in John's cell telling him, yeah, what you just got done preaching, forget it. See, this is where it lands you. But that's not true. Don't listen to those things. Quote scripture, read scripture, listen to scripture, and you will be edified. And you will be able to get out of that prison. John didn't get out of that prison alive with his life, but I believe he was faithful. John, we weren't told exactly that John was faithful to the end, but I believe he was. It seems like he was. Be faithful, stay faithful, gain your courage, fulfill your calling as John did. You're called today. Fulfill that. Look ahead, look at the promises he gave you, and don't waver. Thank you.